In last 1 month, although I was on summer break, I was visiting different homes. I visited with several people and I asked, what is your observation of Crossroad? Some of them shared several things positive and some of them were critical. And they said, you know, constructively critical. And some of them asked, where are we going from here? See, we existed the last 1.5 years and God has helped us to see so many milestones. And even today, appointing Prem as one of the elders is definitely a milestone. And where are we going from here? That is what I would like to lay down before I start my sermon. And my sermon is also in connection with what we are going to see here. And we will just put the first point, Phoebe. Okay. Well, establish and strengthen home and affinity groups. Last 2 months, we have been discussing about home groups and affinity groups. We have now 6 home groups and we have 4 affinity groups. We have good leadership for all of them. And our desire in the next 6 months is to strengthen our home groups and affinity groups. The next point is connected to the first one. What we do on Saturday here, 5 to 6:30, is a corporate worship. We just come and celebrate God's presence. But rest of the week is our church. This is a gathering. But our church is from Sunday to next Saturday. We go out and live out in this world. So we will have small groups with the intention to reach out to the people outside in our neighborhoods. You know, we can share gospel with them, express love of Christ with them. And we can be the presence of Jesus Christ wherever we are. Our home groups may be, you know, 3 people together, 5 people together, or sometimes 20 people, it's fine. But wherever we are, everyone will be connected to a home group or an affinity group. And Joe and Sharon just finished a book called Love and Respect, and they are starting another one. If you are part of, you know, if you are living in anywhere in Valley Ranch and Bedford and Euless area, you can be part of the next one. It is an amazing program for next 4 months. What is it, the book are you going to read, Sheridan?
Boundaries in Marriage.
Boundaries in Marriage. That is a wonderful one. You can be part of that. And after that, they are going to start Dave Ramsey's Financial Institute from January onwards. But several of us will be doing something called sermon-based home group. And we have, for all home groups, we have a pastor, Stan Matthew. He will be working with us voluntarily. He will prepare materials for us. He will come and talk to the elders, talk to the leaders. He will talk to the volunteers. And we will make it more intentional in our training. So, you know, if you are part of a home group and if you want to host one or lead one, please meet with Stan and Christine Matthew, and they will guide you how to do that. And we have men's group. We have gone through one full cycle, and we will be starting again. And we are just completing it. So, women's group, this evening, just after the service, one of the women's group will meet here. And we have another women's group meeting every Saturday except the first Saturday. So we have several groups. That is what we want to do next 5 months. We want to strengthen and establish human affinity groups. The next one is help our members live a missional lifestyle. You may ask, what is missional lifestyle? And that is my sermon today. So I don't want to go in detail. Crossroad Church is a means to an end. It is not end in itself. We are not trying every week to put all our focus on the church, which everyone is doing. So if that is the focus, we could have become part of another congregation. But our desire is that church will become a means to an end. End is reaching people for the Lord and sharing our love of Christ to others. Third one, emphasize 3 E's. That is our mission. Exalt, edify, and evangelize. We will exalt the triune God corporately and individually with our time, talent, and resources through our life, through our family, and through our society. And we will edify one another, you know, through home groups, through affinity groups, and when we come together, we will edify. And when we do these 2 regularly, faithfully, the third should take place automatically. You know, our existence or our mission will be three-dimensional, three E's: exalt, edify, and evangelize. Sometime, you know, we don't need to really push people. Go and evangelize. Go and share about Christ. If we are faithfully worshiping the Lord, and if we are faithfully edifying one another, and evangelism will automatically take place. And the fourth one, create an environment for our leaders and volunteers to bring out their best. You know, a church functions, you know, it's an elder-ruled church, and we will have wonderful leadership. And we have staff, they are highly trained, and we have a big number of volunteers. Our desire is that we will create an environment so that they will thrive in every area of their ministry. And the fifth one is make more and more believers buy in the vision of the Crossroad Church. The vision of the Crossroad Church is reaching the lost. You know, if we want to say we have a focused one is South Asian community, but it is not limited to South Asian community. We are a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multi-racial, and multi-geographical community. We have red, white, black, you know, all colors, all ethnicity, but our desire is to go and reach people for our Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to have our core group built up, strengthened with more and more people. And if you are not part of any church, and if you have a burden to reach out to these people, you can come and join us. And our sermons, all these days, we were laying down the foundation. We talked about Christ. We talked about church. We talked about Holy Spirit. Sometimes you may say, oh, this preaching is dry. And, you know, it is almost like a seminary. We intentionally did that for 1 to 1.5 years. And the reason is we wanted to tell this is what we believe. Later on, if there is a crisis, or if someone wants to know what we believe about Holy Spirit, or what we believe about church, what we believe about Christ, they can go back to the website and look at the outline and say, okay, we understand. And sometime, you know, we can just preach a seeker-sensitive message, or, you know, sometime we can just scratch the surface. But when we go from here, we will forget. But we want to just be faithful to the Word, teach the Word. We believe that transformation takes place, and spiritual growth takes place when we preach God's Word. And that is what we want to do in the next 6 months, is we want to be intentional about preaching. So from August 21st, we will start a new series on the attributes of God and how that attribute ministers to us, how we can trust God. And we will talk about, you know, for next 6 months, it will be intentional ministering. And if you have any suggestion, please let us know. I think this light is too bright for me. I'm not able to see anyone. So it's almost like speaking to no one. Okay. And next week is a special... wonderful. Okay. Next week is a special week for us. We would like to pray for all school-going children. Yesterday was my wedding anniversary, completed 22 years. It was a beautiful time. Thank you very much. You know, the reason why I'm saying is, you know, as we celebrate 22 years, my children are going to go. You know, until now, a daughter was at home, and she will be gone after 1 week. And son has already gone to college, and we are going to be empty nesters. One, it is good. The other one, we will be thinking about family. 85% of the people who go from high school to college, they don't get back to church. You know, some part of their life, they go back to church, but a lot of them lose their faith when they are in college. Next week, we want to just pray for them, protect them, you know, ask the Lord to protect them. And as parents and friends, we will pray over all children who are going to schools and colleges here, right here. So if you have your family members who are going to college and school, please bring them. We will pray for them. And next week is a special week for the children, who college-going and school-going children. And also, those of your parents, empty nesters, we will pray for them also, because we are also becoming empty nesters. Now, we will look at the Word. You may ask, what is the Word you're going to preach? And, you know, I thought we will talk about missional living. Or the question is, how do you develop a missional lifestyle? People talk about missional lifestyle. or missional living, and we will just explore a little bit what it is, because that is going to be our focus. We want to have home groups, we want to have affinity groups, and we want, wherever we want to just have our presence there, but we use a specific term or phrase is missional living or missional lifestyle. What is it? The definition for missional living is this. Missional lifestyle is an intentional style of living to be God's presence in a locality where God is already working. It is a lifestyle. We, intentionally follow in the locality where God is already working. It's almost like, 520 children in Jefferson Park area. If we move in there and we want to become God's presence, that is intentional, missional living. It is kind of incarnation in the society. We don't ask people, come and see us, what we do in the church. We have good music, good sermon, a good fellowship. We are not asking people to come over here, but we try to go to the place where people are and live Jesus Christ. Live God's presence, where God is already working. Just a week after our VBS, Stan and Christine moved to one of the apartments there in Jefferson Park. Gerald and Lisa will be moving to Jefferson Park in weeks' time, 2 weeks. And we are also trying to move to, we initially thought we would move to a house to have a little bit of stability, because we lived in an apartment for a long time. But we decided we would, as long as we are here, we will live in an apartment so that we can develop a missional community or a missional relationship. And I was told Sean and Dave are also planning to move to one of the apartments here. And we already have several other people who are living in apartments. I'm not saying you have to sell your house and move to apartment, but I'm saying wherever you are, whether you are in house, neighborhood, in apartment place, or in school, in a dorm, you can still lead a missional living or a missional lifestyle. I'm going to explain to you from Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla is a very popular couple for some of us. But for a lot of us, today I'm going to introduce them. Aquila and Priscilla were a multiracial community, multiracial family. Aquila probably was a Greek-speaking Jew who lived in a place called Pontius. On the day of Pentecost, a lot of Jews came to Jerusalem and they went back as Christians. And after that, from Pontius, people moved to different places. Probably Aquila was one of them. Moved to Rome, where he met Priscilla. Priscilla was not a Jew, but she was a Latin-speaking, in those words people called pagan, but a Gentile. They got married. But in AD 48, there was an emperor by name Claudius. He made an edict or an order. All the Jews and followers of Judaism should leave Rome and go and live elsewhere. This couple moved to Corinth because Aquila was a Jew. They came to Corinth. The reason I think they moved to Corinth because they were Christians, and the particular order was in relation to their faith, extreme form of faith, probably Christianity. We don't know those details, so let us not speculate. When they came to Corinth, Paul was on a missionary journey. He went on his second missionary journey. He went from Philippi to Thessalonica, Thessalonica to a place called Athens, or Berea, Berea to Athens, and he went to Corinth. And when he went, he was looking around for a place. He ran into Aquila and Priscilla because they both did the same business. Paul was a tent maker. Aquila and Priscilla were also tent makers. Sometimes things happen in our life, not accidentally, but God's sovereign hand is always behind it. If something happens in our life, we have to really see, is God speaking to us? Is God working through this one? Because God is sovereign. He brought Paul to Corinth and Aquila and Priscilla from Rome to Corinth, and Paul stayed with them for 18 months. There was no Christianity in Corinth. But after 18 months, there was a church established in Corinth. So when I look at Aquila and Priscilla, Aquila and Priscilla hosted Paul in Rome. You know, you can turn to Acts chapter 18. You can read the entire chapter. I will be just referring here and there. But Paul stayed there for 18 months. And this is my speculation. The first church in Achaia, the whole region, district of Achaia, was born in Aquila and Priscilla's home. You know, they did their business. Paul did his business. But when they lived a missional living, there was a church that was born in Corinth. Probably that started in Corinth, in Aquila and Priscilla's house. When Paul was leaving after spending for 18 months, he was leaving to Syria, Damascus. At that time, Aquila and Priscilla left Corinth. They were having a very successful business in Corinth, but they left with Paul and came and settled down in Ephesus. This is what I feel. They came on a missionary purpose. They thought, anyway, we are business people. We can have a good living both in Corinth and also in Ephesus. When Paul was coming, they left Corinth and came to Ephesus, and they stayed in Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was started by Aquila and Priscilla in their house. Where do we read? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. This is what Paul says. When Paul was writing the letter to Corinth, being in Ephesus, he says, Aquila and Priscilla greet you, and all those who are meeting in their house send greetings as well. So there was a church in Ephesus. And when they were in Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla were in Ephesus, there was a gentleman by name Apollos. He was an eloquent speaker, but he did not know the gospel. When he was preaching in Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla called this gentleman aside and they said, gospel is not like this. They corrected, they tweaked his gospel. Probably they showed the full gospel to Apollos. Apollos from there went to Achaia, probably to Corinth, and they sent him with a letter to that church in Corinth. And for a brief time, if you read Romans 16, 4, 3, 4, 5, Aquila and Priscilla went to Rome. And they stayed there maybe for 2 years or 3 years, we don't know how long. But when they were there, they started a home church. When Paul was writing to Romans, in Romans 16, 3, 4, and 5, he says, greet Aquila and Priscilla and all those people who are living in, worshipping in their household, greet them. Greet Aquila and Priscilla because they risked their life for the sake of the gospel and for me. You know, I see the time Paul went from, that is 18 months to maybe another 15 years. Wherever they went, they made an impact for our Lord Jesus Christ. They were middle class family. You know, they had their business. But we are talking about what they did even after 2,000 years. I think it is because of their missional living. Their decision, in addition to their business, in addition to their regular work, they thought they will become a presence of God in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Rome, and back in Corinth. You know, they are mentioned even in 2 Timothy 4:19. Paul says, when just before he was going to be killed in Rome, he says, greet Aquila and Priscilla and the household of Onesiphorus. It's amazing family. You know, they had their successful business, their normal living, but they stood for our Lord Jesus Christ. They led several people to Christ. They used their homes, their resources for our Lord Jesus Christ. And also, they corrected the doctrine. Then finally, when Timothy was pastoring the church in Ephesus, they came and supported them. An amazing family. I like you to be Aquila and Priscilla in Bedford, in Euless, in Dallas, in Carrollton, in other places. And my desire is that our church will be full of people who will be leading a missional living. Not a church Christians or a churchianity, but people who will lead a mission style. You may ask the question, what does a missional family or an individual do? This is what I have. They have a kingdom agenda. they have a kingdom agenda. If you want to become a kingdom family or a missional family, you have to have a kingdom agenda. That is what they had. Aquila and Priscilla had a kingdom agenda. Wherever they went, they wanted to reflect our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel message. I think it is a kingdom agenda for them. Kingdom is bigger than a local church. We don't want to just spend all our energy to build this local church, buy the property and buy all the best of best equipments and spend all the money for the carpet and everything. You know, that is not our focus. Our focus is kingdom. Sometime I may be here, tomorrow I may be in New Delhi. Sometime Gerald is here, tomorrow he is in Houston. Wherever we are, we have to be workers of the kingdom. This is what Paul said, in the Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament, Joshua says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I think it is a kingdom agenda. In the New Testament, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. He was in Damascus. He was in Cyprus. He was in territories of Galatia. He was in Western world, Macedonia, Rome, all these places. Wherever he was, his desire was to preach the kingdom, our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be in Chicago. You know, you may be in the medical school. Wherever you are, you need to have a kingdom agenda so that you can make an impact for our Lord Jesus Christ. What does a missional family or an individual do? My second point here is this. They use their resources, such as house, money, time, talent, to build the kingdom. You know, Aquila and Priscilla could have thought like this. Oh, our house is full of tools, you know, to make the tents. We have clothes one side, we have bamboo in the other side, we have steels in the other side, lot of discomfort. It's fine. It is your property, it is your house. You can choose not to do it, but you are forfeiting the blessings. Whereas they said, it's all right, one side, let all the things be there. The other side, we want to have Paul in our house so that he can work with us and also he can preach about Jesus Christ. Lot of inconveniences, lot of difficulties. Still, they hosted Paul and opened the house for home group to take place. And there was a church which even today we talk about it. That is the church at Corinth. When you have a kingdom agenda, you will use your time, your talent, your resources, your influence to expand and work for the kingdom. You know, I know several people who do that. I don't want to embarrass anyone here, but I was part of Sister Rachel's housewarming. And I very clearly remember, maybe after 10 years, I will come and ask Cyril and Lisa, is this the same? Is this true? She said, the very fact we moved to this new house is to have a bigger room so that we can have meetings regularly. It is an amazing desire and objective. It's a kingdom agenda. You enjoy your house, you enjoy your money, but you have an agenda. That is kingdom agenda. If you have, whether it is a small house or a big house, you don't know. Sometimes when we host someone in our home, we don't know who that person would evolve to be. If Aquila and Priscilla had known who Paul was at that time, probably they would have taken care of him really well. But he had to work. But later on, he became one of the biggest apostles. Even today, you know, when you have someone under your roof, when you support someone with your small amount, or when you go and pray with someone, when you live a missional living, you don't know who you are touching. I have several personal testimonies. One of the testimonies is this. There was a 19-year-old boy by name Babu. He was brought to me. For 2 weeks, he was in a Tamil discipleship training program. And during that program, he was boisterous. And I saw something different in him. He was taking some kind of drugs. At the end of the program, I found out that he was like that. I decided that I would spend my time, my effort on him. Now, you know, this is about 16, 17 years afterwards. He is the head of independent pastors in a state called Karnataka. He has not been to college. He finished his studies. I think he didn't even complete his 10th grade. But the talent he has, the power he has, and several people, you know, came to know the Lord through him. There is a place called Srirangapatana. You know, one side Hindus, the other side Muslims, they were always against him. When I was here, first month after I came to Dallas, I got a telephone call saying that, you know, he was beaten and he was put on the railway track thinking that he would die. But somehow he escaped. He led every, you know, he leads people to Christ and he baptizes people every week. You know, the point is this. You don't know who you are ministering to. You don't know who you are showing kindness to. You know, sometime God is giving you an opportunity to create a big apostle like Paul, or a big Bible teacher like someone. Or, you know, God is giving you a lot of resources so that you can support several people who can shake the world. If you have a kingdom agenda, you will use all the things that you have at your disposal for building up of the kingdom of God. The third one is, you look out for an opportunity to share Christ with others. You look out for an opportunity. I have heard several people telling, they go to Walmart, they look out for people. They somehow want to share about Jesus. They want to befriend them. I think that is what we need to have. You may be working in companies, schools, those who are going to college, and those who are living in a good neighborhood, always look out for an opportunity to share Christ. You open your house for special programs. You create something so that you will get an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ. We will wrap up our sermon today. You know, normally we finish our sermon with one takeaway, and today is, what do you need to become a missional community, or a missional individual, or a family? What you need, or what I need, is we have to develop a kingdom agenda for us and our family. When we leave from here, we have to ask, what is that kingdom agenda? You know, Joshua, just before he died, he must have been very, very old. When he took over from Moses, he was already old. But when he, you know, led people into the promised land, after everyone got their share, and he knew that he was going to die, this is what he said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That is a kingdom agenda. Paul says, if I don't preach, woe unto me. Cornelius, he knew that the person who was going to come to his house was a man of God. He wanted everyone to be blessed. So he brought all his family members. There began something called Gentile mission. Lydia, in Acts chapter 17, she was a wealthy lady. She was a businesswoman. But the minute she became a believer, she got into the kingdom agenda. She said, you can stay in my house. There began the church at Philippi, a church that was so powerful, reached out to the surroundings, church at Colossae, church at Laodicea, maybe, you know, several other churches were planted through this one initiative. You can be a Cornelius, you can be a Lydia, you can be Aquila and Priscilla. You can have a kingdom agenda. What do you need to have a kingdom agenda? Point number one, conviction about the gospel. Conviction about the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Money is not powerful. Education is not powerful. Influence is not powerful. Countries are not powerful. Gospel is powerful. In last 2,000 years, we saw so many things coming up and down. Like, you know, Roman government. Then, you know, Byzantine. And you just think of several governments, east and west. Several governments came, several influences came, and they are not there. But gospel is still there. You go to a tribal area, You go to an urban area. You go to a metropolis. You preach the gospel. People come to know the Lord. That is why Paul says, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel, because gospel is the power of God. All those people who have come from all over the world, they are here not in their economy, it is for finance, but in God's economy, you and me will go and preach the gospel to them. Unless you have a kingdom agenda, you will never be able to make a difference. To make a difference, you need to have the conviction about the gospel. Then, shift focus from me and us to others. You know, a lot of time, me and us plays a very important role. What will I get if I go to the church? They preach, they are not ministering to me. Or, you know, I'm not getting any role in the church. Or I'm not getting the position in the church. If you have a kingdom agenda, your focus will not be you, but others. So, when you want to have a missional lifestyle, always you think about other person. You know, again, I don't want to embarrass anyone, you know, for the sake of illustrating my point. 2 weeks back, we had our staff meeting on Tuesday. Stan, you know, innocently said this. We have a washer and dryer in our apartment. And, you know, we will just keep it open. If we see our neighbor coming and they are taking their clothes to the washer area, we will tell them to come and use our washer and dryer. In that way, we can befriend them. He didn't mean anything, but it just went deep in my heart. Is this, what an amazing missional desire. Everything that we have, same thing with Sister Rachel when she said, you know, I'm going to invite people from my neighborhood and we are going to talk about Christ. What an amazing missional desire. We need to move from us and me to outside. And I think, you know, even if we are 10 people in this Crossroad Church, even if it's a small group, I like to have our people who have a kingdom agenda. You know, Jesus Christ had only 12 people. You know, he didn't have 2,000 people. He didn't have 20,000 people. But he had 2,000 people. They moved, changed the world upside down. They went to all corners of this world. They just changed the world. And we are not different. They had the conviction of the gospel. And they did not think about their life. Yeah, because Paul says in Acts chapter 20, when he came to Ephesus, someone said, don't go to Jerusalem. You are going to be tied, you will be arrested, and you will be put to death. He said, no problem, I'm going to go. He went and he preached. He stood before several people and preached the gospel. Because the focus is not on me and my comfort. Focus is on others and people who are perishing. we have to have cultural engagement. Next week is Anand Bazaar. There will be about 10,000 to 20,000 South Asians coming, congregating in one place. We are not going to do something this year, but God willing, we will be engaging. Cultural engagement. You know, you can be culturally engaged, still you don't compromise with the culture. We can go and participate in some programs. When they play cricket, you can go play cricket. When they are walking in the park, you can go and walk with them. Instead of isolating yourself, you assimilate in the society. We need to do that. You know, I have several points. I don't think I will have time. But, you know, I want to just list some of them. Show hospitality to your neighbor. Maybe once a month or once in 2 months, invite your neighbors and give them good food. You don't need to share gospel. They themselves will ask, what are you? Why are you doing that? And loving those from diverse race, language. And serving those who cannot pay back. You go and show love to people who cannot pay back. Then be generous with your financial resources. If you see someone suffering, someone has a need, be generous to them. Because these are all part of missional living. You know, when you have the kingdom in your mind, all the other things become small, immaterial. And Christ and the gospel becomes big and so powerful. And before I close, I'd like to leave this point. Bear inconveniences for the sake of the gospel. You know, bear inconvenience for the sake of the gospel. I know we are all so tired on Fridays. I know we get ready for the new week on Sunday. But, you know, no one is going to hold you accountable if you don't do anything on Friday. No one is going to hold you accountable when you don't do anything on Sunday. But you do something on Friday and something on Sunday just to show the love of Christ to others. You know, you may be like Aquila and Priscilla. You sometime, yes, new church will be born in your house. Or you may see some people growing in the Lord, going from here to Africa and Asia and other parts of the world preaching the gospel. And you will be sharing the benefit. And you will be saying, oh, that man, you know, he came to know the Lord in our house. Such a blessing. You know, I'd like to tell you a story before I close with a prayer. There was a guy who, his name is Chandran. Son of a priest. This priest was not an ordinary priest, but he used to talk to the spirits in the night, in the middle of the night. He was a tribal, never went to college, never went to school, and he was part of a tribal community. And one day, we shared gospel with this Chandran, and Chandran came to know the Lord. And after that, he was expelled from the house. And we took him under our wings. Lot of inconveniences. As you know, village, whole village came together, started fighting with us. And this guy was becoming kind of additional responsibility. We didn't have a lot of money because we ourselves were missionaries, but we said, okay, we will take care of him. And finally, we decided, because he was so much interested in the word, we decided to send him to a Bible school. And all that costed was 100 rupees, less than $2, or just $2 a month. We didn't have that much, but we sent. When he was leaving, in those days I didn't have too many shirts. Now I have plenty of shirts. But I had few shirts, and I gave him two or three shirts to him, and he went to Madras. And now I look back. Those $2 for a year is, you know, $2 per month for a year is $24. Two shirts, maybe could have costed $2 or $3. Everything costed me only $27. But the things that he is doing is, you know, unimaginable. It is multiplying. He has led several people to Christ, baptizing people every week. And he is just working for the Lord, not in just one place, in several places where we cannot go. You can play a role like that. Just being a doctor, by being a nurse, by being a banker, you can do that by playing a role in God's kingdom, by leading a missional lifestyle. May God bless us with these thoughts. And we will come back next week. And what we talk today is not just a talk. It is, you know, it was part of my heart, a burden. Me and you, our family and your family, we all should assimilate in the society. That is where Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You will be leading missional living in this world, you know, passively making a difference in the society. And you are the light of this world, in this dark world. People who are going through financial crisis, joblessness, hopelessness. When we know people have hope only when Jesus Christ come into their life, why should we hold Jesus Christ to ourselves? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you for the gospel message. That is that transformed us, and that is transforming us even today. And we believe gospel is the only answer to this world. Therefore, we pray that you will help us, Heavenly Father, to lead a missional living, going around. Be our Lord Jesus Christ, where you are already working, Lord. Now you send us with your blessings, Heavenly Father. Help us to live out the gospel message at home, in schools, in our workplaces, wherever we go. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.